Go to Psalm 50, please, the 50th Psalm. I was reflecting last night. I guess I was thinking about when I first got into the Word, and even before that. I remember the things that God did for me when I first cried out and asked Him for help. I cried out to a God I did not know, I had no clue of. In fact, previous to my crying out to God, I had decided that there wasn't one. But then I knew, because of my personal experience, I knew that there was spiritual powers and evil spiritual powers. And I had come to understand that there really was a devil, and therefore there had to be a God, but I didn't know who He was. And I remember very earnestly crying out to Him to, if you're out there, I would help me. And He did. He did. He sent my brother and my mother to share the Word with me. They had gotten into the Word. My brother did it because he was supposed to, because the Word says you're supposed to witness to people. But, and my mom, because she loved me. My brother and I weren't the closest people in the world. But he had a great, I don't want to minimize it. He had probably as much, if not more, of an impact on my life as far as teaching and sending me in God's direction than anybody else. The thing that I was reflecting on more than anything else was how loving Almighty God was. That once I cried out really earnestly that prayer, and I didn't even know it was a prayer. It was a plea from my gut that He had right one thing right after another. Didn't happen immediately, but it happened. Can't tell you how much time went by. It wasn't lifetime. It wasn't years. It wasn't, but I can't remember how long between the prayer and the deliverance. I think it was within a week. And then I went to fellowship. I started learning the Word. I had ministers. I had these wonderful, loving people, ministers. Fellowship coordinator, Jeff Walsh, my brother, my mother. Other sweet people, I don't even remember their name, I'm sorry to say, that were in the fellowship, and they helped me to hear and learn, and they just simply spoke the Bible, and some of the simple things that I'm going to share with you today, but it all starts with crying out, and when you cry out, I don't care for what, it's you and it's God Almighty wants you. He wants a relationship with you. He fights for you. He doesn't quit on you. You can quit on Him. You can get lazy and stop asking. But He'll never quit. He never quits. And He lays this out here in the 50th Psalm. It says, the mighty God, even Yahweh. The word God here is El, the Almighty. And the word Lord here is Yahweh, His proper name. The mighty El, the mighty God, even Yahweh, hath spoken and called or summoned the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Zion is the best time that God ever had with His people. And He says this, out of Zion is the perfection of beauty. This is what I love. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before Him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about Him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that He may judge His people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. He is going to come and judge himself. The Almighty deals with, this is what he wants. He wanted that time of Zion, the beauty of Zion. He is coming and he will judge. He'll lay it all out and he himself will judge. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel. I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will reprove thee. For thy sacrifice, I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifice or thy burnt offering. I have been continually before thee. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goat out of thy fold. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon the thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountain, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat flesh of bulls and drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vow unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Then he goes to the wicked. This is what he wants from his people. All right. What are you going to give me? I own the planet. I own everything on it. He owns the air that you are presently using. He owns everything. What does he want from any man, from any individual? He wants you to give him thanks and the praise he deserves. That's what our Father wants. That's all he's ever wanted from me. What did this guy give him when I was 20, 19 years old, 20 years old? Nothing. I hadn't done anything. And I wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. There was really qualities that, like I said, everybody could pass by. I wasn't top of my class. I wasn't any of those things. I had nothing to offer him. Absolutely nothing. What I gave him was the one thing. I cried out in my trouble. And then I gave him thanks. I committed myself. He says, the people who make the covenant with me, I made Jesus Christ my Lord. I learned the scriptures. I learned that I had a Lord and Savior who died for me, paid the price, did everything on my behalf, so that I would not have to pay for my sins and my lack of everything. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I came to understand that. But I made Jesus my Lord, and I have endeavored, really from that point on, I have failed, but I've endeavored to walk in his steps and to do his will. I don't think any of us do it perfectly. I don't think anybody doesn't fall completely flat on their face and look like a fool. But the point is, you get up. You get up and you start again. And you never quit. And he will never quit on you. You sin, you ask for forgiveness, and our loving Father says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is who we are dealing with. Now, the unbelievers, start in verse 16. Because we don't want to just have one side of the picture, right? For the people who, and I've met a bunch of them lately, I don't believe in God. You know, you're a fool for believing in him. I mean, you're weak because you believe in a God. And they're really, they got some, you know, macho in there. You know what I mean? They really don't. I know what's going to happen. I know that they're fools. I tell them the truth anyhow. I do it in a very loving way. But there are so many. They don't even forget about the scriptures concerning Jesus Christ. They don't even know that there is an almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. I mean, I think sometimes when you witness, you got to start from that. They don't need to know, oh, in the Old Testament, this means this and that means that. We're talking about people who are basically blank slates. They're either super arrogant or super ignorant. Take your pick. In verse 16, this is what's going to be with those. It says, but unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or what thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction? You hate instruction, you cast my words behind you. When thou saw a thief, when thou consented with him, and has been partaker with adulterers, and givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue flameth deceit, thou sittest and speak against thy brother. Thou slanderest thy mother's son. You slander your own brother, your own family. These things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. There are people out there who think, okay, I got away with it, so God don't care. They're figuring out, oh, well, this is what I, and that's what you do when you're a little kid, right? You test the water, see what I can get away with mom and dad. Well, big people do the same thing. Let's test the waters and see how far I can push the envelope here before I get clobbered. They think that God is something like, well, maybe he don't care. He agrees with me. He's not bothering me. Such a one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thy eyes. Now consider this, you that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifies me. And to him that orders his conversation, his behavior aright, will I show the salvation of God. You consider this, you unbelievers. I'm going to tear you in pieces. You definitely ought to fear me. But the ones that offer me praise, that give me my due, acknowledge me, praise me, and then you order your steps, I'll show you the salvation of God. God has no pleasure in the death of the ungodly. But he's a just God, and everybody will get what they deserve. Those of us that have made a covenant with our Father in heaven and have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, because we believe the gospel, he says that you will have eternal life. And to those that reject him and are arrogant, prideful, and don't give him the praise that he deserves, they're going to face the Almighty. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Almighty God. It says in a different place. In Hebrews chapter 11, I guess it comes down to thinking about it this way. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." That's like the first step. You got to believe that he is. If you don't believe that there is a God, and if you don't believe that he is a rewarder of those who seek him, obviously you never will. But without that faith, without that absolute conviction that there is a God and that he will bless those that seek him, you didn't even make it to step one. It's like you never entered the building, you know, let alone left it. That is the first thing of faith. You know, I cried out in my heart that day. I cried out desperately. I didn't know if he was there. I didn't know if he would answer. I did not know. I was at the bottom of the barrel. I didn't know if he would give me a look. But I cried out and I asked. And he, like I said, one event after another encouraged me. It encouraged me. People all of a sudden started, my brother, my mother started speaking to me. They hadn't before. They started speaking to me, and I had ears, and I was curious, and I cared to hear. Not so much my brother, but my mother. I knew that she loved, and I appreciated that. And then there's a lot of stories that I'm not going to tell you today, but the point is, I learned to pray. I learned when I went to a fellowship and I started seeing the promises that were in the scriptures. I saw these promises and I'm thinking to myself, what a loving, well, I never knew this was there. And I thought, if this is really true, this is like hitting a lottery. I mean, I thought, you know, that's really my mentality. I mean, God loves me. Go to Matthew 6. Let's go to the first public teaching in Jesus Christ. At least the first one that we have a record of. The Sermon on the Mount. Verses like these were taught in Matthew 6:8. It says, "Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him." God knows what you need before you ask him. This is in the section where he's teaching them to pray. He says, don't be like hypocrites, just talk a lot in your prayers. You know, don't, you know, do it like the Gentiles do, that vain repetition and so forth. Don't be like them. Don't be like them. Don't just talk and talk and talk and talk like he's going to be impressed with your many words. Don't be like the hypocrites. He knows what you have need of before you even ask. You know, when I yelled out that prayer, I didn't know who God was. I didn't know if he would answer. I didn't know anything. All I knew was that the only shot I had was to cry out for help and kind of hope that somebody would be there. You know, and that's a pretty desperate place to be in. And he answered. He answered. And the reason, if he's always looking, you know, like the parable of the lost sheep, where he leaves the 99 and go out and find the one? That's what the Father does. That's what he does. And remember the prodigal son where the guy's gone and he's always looking, waiting for that kid to come home? That's the way the Father is. That's the picture of the portrayal of his care and concern for the lost. How much more for you who have made a commitment to him? How much more? He knows what you have need of before you even ask for it. Do you walk around knowing that? Do you walk around in your head knowing that my Father knows everything that I'm going to need today? Crisis comes up, it's going to be provided for. Don't freak out. You know, fear and panic are not a solution. They kind of get in the way, to say it lightly. It means that you don't trust. So you don't panic. You don't fear. You very intently, very seriously go to your Father. He already knows what you need. And just know that he will provide. You know, all along the way, as stupid as I was, and as much of an unbeliever I was at the beginning of my Christian life, because I didn't know the Bible. I knew a verse here, a verse there. I mean, how much can you know after you sit in one teaching? You know, how much can you possibly come to know when you sit in one teaching? Or two, or ten? Not very much. But God encouraged me because he answered prayers. He encouraged me with his presence. He encouraged me to continue. Even when I was doing it mostly wrong, he encouraged me. Because he's like a father. You didn't do it right, kid. You don't eat tonight. You know, if it was like that, we would all be very, very thin. No, he's not like that at all. You know, look at chapter 7. Chapter 7 is dealing and Matthew is dealing with how do you deal with others. You know, you don't want to be a hypocrite. You don't want to be a cop giving out tickets. You take care of your own life. Don't cast your pearls before the swine. Don't give the holy things of God to people who don't care to hear it. But he does say in verse 7, it says, ask and it shall be given. Listen to that. If it was the first time you ever heard it, the Lord Jesus Christ says, now is Jesus a liar or is he telling the truth? That's what you got to ask yourself, because you got to go to the source. Is Jesus lying or is he telling the truth? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. And he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. For what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts, good things, to them that ask him. In another section it says, give the Spirit to those that ask. Same basic prayer. Whatever it is. You want to learn to walk with God by the Spirit of the Lord without getting all tripped up with all the hooky-pook that most people teach? Ask him. So many people make it so spiritual and so difficult and so, You know, like you got to be some kind of super spiritual person to walk with God. No, you don't. God wants to talk to you. He wants to teach you. He is a loving Father who wants your life. And all He wants in return is thanksgiving and praise. He wants a commitment from you to walk in His ways. That's all He wants. And it's not so hard. You know, most people got religion on the mind. They got church on the mind. They got, okay, you got this rule and that rule and the other rules. And you can't do this. You can't have any fun. You can't. That's not what it says in the Bible. He wants you to walk in love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love one another. Now, isn't that a really difficult, terrible life? I'm being facetious for those of you that are on the tape. What a ridiculous thing. God just wants you to love one another and to love Him. This is what we are called. Look at chapter 21 of Matthew. This is a record where He has cursed the fig tree, and they're coming back less than half a day later or the next day. I forget exactly how long. And the thing is dried up from the roots. Most trees die from the top down. You ever watch them? You can see them in the neighborhood. When they start losing it at the top, they're gonna take them a while to die, but they die. This one was dried up from the roots up, 24 hours. Just because the Lord said, nobody's going to eat fruit from you at all. You know, you're done. And in chapter, 21, verse 21. He's talking to His men. They marveled. In verse 20 it says, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you ask, you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. It's not a wishful thought, prayer. You say something to God, you believe, you know that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him. You're seeking Him, you're talking to Him. You're doing what the Lord taught. You're just, it's you and Him. Don't teach Him. Don't teach Him the Bible. Don't preach to, don't do all these. Just talk to your Father. Make it so beautifully personal. You know, I don't have to say to Mary when we talk, I don't have to recommit myself and everything else over all these past 48 years, almost 48 years coming up. I don't have to explain to her who I am. I don't have to explain to her a lot of, I'm just talking to her about what it is, about what's going on right now. Do you see what I mean? So if I need something right now, I just talk to her about that. If I saw something and I want to tell her about what's happening and she tells me what's happening, we just start from that point. You know, because it's a personal conversation. It's a personal awareness that we know each other. But Christ says, this is how simple it is. I mean, this was the whole class. If you do this with faith and doubt not, you not only do this, but anything that you need to ask for. Now, does that mean that you have the, you got to take this in count with the rest of the Bible? But I want you to listen to it like it was the first time you ever heard it. Jesus just said something. Do you walk around thinking that you can? It's a good idea. Or do you just dismiss it? Oh, that's just religious talk. That's just for somebody else. That's for the people with the halo around their head. You know, none of the guys he was talking to had a halo. They were all just working people. They were kind of weird people, too. Most of them were weird people. One of them was a tax collector. He was a real traitor to his people. That was Matthew. That's the man we're reading out of the book here. You know, and a bunch of them were fishermen. You know, fishermen are just fishermen. They work hard. And they're simple people, not theologians. You know, one was a political zealot. Two of them were called the Sons of Thunder. You know, that was their nickname. You two are like the Sons of Thunder. Why? Because they were loud, made a lot of noise, probably fought a lot together too. These were just regular people. And he says, if you do this with faith, you know, one more time, I say unto you, verse 21, if you have faith and doubt not, don't doubt. Don't doubt. Why would your Father have the Lord Jesus Christ say this and it not be true? What do you got to lose? For those of you who have never done this before, who have never really made the commitment, who just like hanging out, or maybe that you've settled for less than you should have settled for when it comes to the scriptures. I mean, really, seriously, ask yourself the question, is God making Jesus a fool here? Or is he telling the truth? And all I got to do is do this and not doubt. You'll not only do this to the fig tree, which is done to the fig tree, but also if thou shalt say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you ask, you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. And I encourage you to stretch your mind past where you've ever been and ask. Go to John 14. Verse 13. You know, in John chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 is like the last teaching of Jesus Christ before he's crucified. He's teaching his men how they're going to walk in light of the kingdom of God without him. He's teaching them how they got to behave, how they got to serve, how they have to love. You know, he wants them to love as he loved. He wants them to serve the way he served. He wants them to obey God's word the way he's obeyed God's word. And when you do that, you walk like the Lord, right? You made that commitment. I'm going back to Psalm 50 in my mind. You've made that covenant with God. You've made a commitment. You're not going to do it perfectly, but you've made it. You're going to endeavor to do this. And he gives them instruction of what to do and how to do it. And then he says to them, once, you know, he teaches them these things. Because if you serve the way he served, you love the way he loved, and you obey the Father the way he obeyed it. In verse 12 of 14, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." You walk like him, you're going to do the works he did, and greater. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name," and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, "that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." You know, and go to verse 16, chapter 15, verse 16. It says here, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." You know, I called you. You didn't call me. I picked you. You are the ones he has picked. My sheep hear my voice. You're one of his. And he wants you to bear fruit, to do great, marvelous things, that the Father gets glorified. So whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you'll get. You ask in his name, you'll receive. I remember thinking about these things when I was first year or so in my walk with God, and I would challenge the scriptures. I would take what I learned, what I read, what I saw, what I heard, and then, okay, let's see if it works. And I remember I was reflecting last night. I'd get off the subway and I'd walk down, I think it was 41st Street or something, to a big apartment building I was working on, and I had about a toolbox that weighed about 100 pounds, and I had trudge it to work, you know, for the first day. And then there was this lunatic in the middle of Manhattan on the street, and he was trying to punch people. He was shadow box, get as close as he could to these people, and he was doing it to ladies, he was doing it to men. You know, he was just coming my way. Back then, I knew I could take care of this with no problem myself. You know, I'm not like I am today. I had my strength, and I could deal with anything that came my way. But I wasn't gonna. I was carrying this 100-pound toolbox. I'm coming down the street. I'm looking at this lunatic coming towards me. And he's got, you know, like dead eyes. And I put down my toolbox, and I stood there, and I just looked at him. And he came right up to me, and he's like, he didn't know what he was going to deal with. And he's playing the game, you know, he's throwing these punches into the air, and I just said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, get out of my way." And he ran like a scared kid across the street. Picked up my toolbox and went to work. These are the things that I tried. You know, back then, let's put it this way. I knew that I wanted to see if the name of Jesus Christ would work with an individual I thought was obviously possessed or out of his mind. And everything that you say in the name of Jesus Christ, right, with faith. Now, it was real easy for me to test the scripture at that point, because if I was wrong, I could just get the man out of my way no matter what. That wasn't the problem. There was no fear here. But you know what? Now that I am 70 and old and fat, and if I hit somebody, I'd probably break my hand and not hurt them very much. I know the name of the Lord Jesus Christ works. I've tried it and tried it and tried it and tried it. And I know that what you ask in His name, and I know the other scriptures that I've learned about spiritual matters. I know a lot of these wonderful things. And it's not, because once you learn something and you keep it in your heart, it's yours. But you got to walk out on it. You got to walk out on it. You got to practice your faith. You have to ask God, teach me how this works. Show me. And if there's a better way to do it, He will. You know, I remember just one other stupid story, right? I needed $26,000 to go into the Way Corps to pay for our bill to get to go through the thing. And they didn't want to ask anybody for money because that's what they told you to do. Ask among the believers, have the believers sponsor you. And that was the way in which things were done for the most part. But I was too prideful for that. So I figured I got to do it all myself. So I went to my bank account and I got myself my couple hundred dollars out of the, I closed the account. And I went to Yonkers to the Trotters. It was the only racetrack around. And I'd never really been to the Trotters except to have fun time. I didn't know how to bet on horses. I didn't know how to do any of these things. But I was determined, because God wanted me to do this, that I was going to take my money and God was going to tell me which horse to bet on so that I could have the 26 grand. So me and three or four other believers talked ourselves into this. And it was a life lesson that I'll never forget. God taught it to me, and I'll never forget it. But the truth of the matter is, every horse we bet on came in second. And we didn't know how to bet, so we only bet to win. So that means you didn't get anything. I still don't know how to do this too well. But the point is, I didn't even have a quarter, because it was 25 cents to come back across the Triborough Bridge. I didn't even have a quarter left in my pocket to come over the bridge. I remember the cop at the toll booth gave me a receipt that I could mail in my 25 cent thing, because they didn't have enough money to pay the toll. Talk about a lesson. And then it became very, very clear to me by the time I got home. This is not the way it's going to be done. This is second best. Every horse, nine races, came in second. And I was convinced that was the Father's, this was the price of higher education. You're going to tell me how I'm going to do this? No, you're not. I went, Mary and I went through the Corps. We went there. I remember crying out in prayer, God, how are we going to do this? And I remember he told me to turn to, in the middle of the kitchen when I was in Rosedale, I'm standing there and it came to my mind, turn to Psalm 26, I think it was. 26, God said it to me very clearly. I'm saying, Lord, what am I going to do? This is what you want me to do, but I haven't got it. What's going to happen? So my Father said to me audibly in my head, in my heart, turn to Psalm 28:6, and I read it because I didn't know what was in Psalm 28:6. It says, blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. Psalm 28:6. And then he hath heard the voice of my supplication, my specific prayer. Relax, kid. I heard the prayer. Now, do you think that that's a little comfort? You know, I just left everything, just quit everything. Got me and my girl, you know, and I know that this is what you want me to do, but I don't have the funds. And guess what? It showed up. You know, it didn't come the way I wanted it to happen. And that was the greatest lesson of all. You ask God, and don't tell him. You ask him, you don't tell him. He's not working for you. He is not, what do they call those machines they don't use anymore? Oh, you put the money in, huh? Nah, not an ATM, but it's like an ATM. You used to get cigarettes and candy out of it. A vending machine. God's not your own personal vending machine. You know, if he wants you to cast a mountain, he said, cast that mountain over there. And you say it in the name of Jesus Christ. When he tells you to do it, it'll get done. He tells you he wants you to do something, he'll make it available for you to do it. You're not going to tell him how he's going to do it. See, these are things that I learned, but you had to try. You had to extend yourself to practice what you were learning. And sometimes I learned all the lessons that I failed at were the greatest lessons of my life. You know, I didn't just go to the track. I tried to buy a lottery ticket. Well, God, you're going to tell me where to buy. So I double parked the car. I was convinced. Ran in the candy store. And I just added to something. I added a pack of cigarettes. There were two guys there. The other guy won the lottery. I added the pack of cigarettes, so the guy gave him the first ticket. He went and gave me my ticket and the cigarettes. The other guy won the lottery. Don't add. When he tells you to do something, don't add to it. These were life lessons I learned. Just do what you're told. Just shut up and do what you're told. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. God tells you to do something. He wants it done now. Not when you feel like it. You know, when he told Philip to go join himself to the chariot, he ran. When he told Elijah, he ran. God said, do something. I mean, this is right now, quick. Get it done. He wants you to speak something. Say it. You don't wait for an opportunity. You're working for him. This is a whole different. Go to, let's get back on some of these wonderful promises. Go to John 16. Chapter 16, Gospel of John. These are just wonderful thoughts I had. In verse 23. And I love this. Talking about that when the day of Pentecost comes. It says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Why? Because I'm right here. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. That, when you get a prayer answered, and get a lesson like some of the ones that I personally got. That's called joy. God's teaching. He's helping. He's blessing. He's encouraging me to continue and to continue and to continue. You know, and Mary and I, we've seen this in our lives when Mary got sick. All of a sudden, we don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, God opens these doors and it within her family, find the doctor, find the nicest people. Everybody's a wonderful blessing. God provides. He knows what you have need of even before you ask. He's working. He's working and he is aware of what's going on in you. He knows every hair in your head. Think about this. He's aware of everything that's going on with you, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the God who said he made the stars also. That's it. The hundreds of millions or billions of galaxies that are out there was just, and he made the stars also. That's the power of your Father. He's promised us eternal life. He's so many wonderful, beautiful promises. Go to 1 John chapter 3. These truths are talked about throughout. In verse 22, it says, And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Verse 24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And thereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. You got a relationship with him because you've made that commitment. Remember back in Psalm 50 when he was talking to the believers? You all gather, all of you who have made a commitment, a covenant with me. My covenant with him was, I want to do your word. I want to serve. I want to love. I want you. And he blessed me with these things. When you read that verse 22 again, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because... Just like John chapters 13, 14, 15, 16 taught us in the Gospels, when you serve like I have served, you love like I love, and you obey the Father the way I have obeyed him, then whatsoever you ask. See, it's conditional. You can't be the world's biggest idiot after you know the truth. You can be ignorant and be trying the things like I did, because everybody's ignorant when they start out. You just ask, and God will encourage you and keep you encouraged. But again, try not to be telling him what his word should say. Okay? Just read what it does say. So, I love it. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that please him. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. You know, is there more to learn? Yes, there is. But doesn't change these truths. You know, chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Again, a little clarification again. We ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. You know, what are some of the things that God says, I want you to pray for? There's a lot of them in there, right? But you can look at it in Ephesians, there's two major prayers. He wants to open up the eyes of your understanding that you may know the hope of his calling. You know, he wants you to understand the unknowable love of Christ, which passes knowledge. He wants you to pray that. And you know what? If you pray anything according to his will, he hears you. He'll give it to you. So if you question whether the red car that you want is the will of God, personally, I don't think God cares what car you drive or what house you live in or what meal you're going to eat. I think he cares about us doing his will. But I encourage you, don't settle. When you read the scriptures, take these promises. First of all, you got to know that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that seek him. You want to do his will. You want to be an individual that walks with their Father in a relationship like Jesus had with him. You seek that. He will help you find it. If that's what you want, that's what you'll get. If you want to go the other route, I don't suggest it. He don't want religion. You ain't going to give him enough bowls to eat. He owns the planet. He don't need a whole bunch of anything else. That was his point to Israel. You know, I don't love you because you give me these sacrifices. I love you because this is the way it was with Zion. They praised me all day long. They set up the singers. They set up the prayers. They set up everything. It was the sweetest time God ever had with Israel. You can read it. It was a joyous time with God and his people. That's what he wanted. That was the holiness, the beauty of Zion. He didn't want you to turn it into religion. And I'm paying off the Godfather for his blessings. All he wants is your love and praise. Thanksgiving. That's what I wanted to share with you today. Oh, you know, I got one more thing to add to this. Let me add this to you. So I make the teaching list my teaching, right? I can do what I want. Go to Acts 10. First time I ever stopped the teaching and started right back up. I'm getting old. I forgot. Acts chapter 10. This record came to my mind. I thought it was extraordinary last night. You know, some people think, well, you got to be in the right spiritual group here, right? Well, Cornelius is a man who is a Roman soldier. He's a Roman soldier, and no Gentile has ever been allowed into the body of Christ yet. Jesus blessed Gentiles, you know, and he told his men, don't go talk to him. But when they came to him and begged him, you know, he said to the woman, he says, you know, I got nothing to do with you. She wanted a healing for her daughter. And Jesus said to the woman, you know, I'm here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's not right that I give the bread that's on the children's table to the dogs. And she said, the dogs eat of the crumbs. And Jesus said, great is your faith. Be it unto you according to your faith. And her daughter was healed. She knew her place. She wasn't arguing with them. She knew exactly her, and she was meek and still asked for the mercy, and she got it. But no Gentile, generally, you had the one in Matthew chapter 8, the centurion, my servant's sick, you know, speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. And these were people of great faith, but Jesus wasn't sent, and he didn't send his men out to anybody else except Israel. Right? Now you have a man. And this is why I say to you, when you cry out, I don't care who you are. I don't care what your background is. I don't care nothing. The point is you're seeking God. You know that He is, and He'll be a rewarder. And maybe you don't know nothing at all. Just like this guy Cornelius. He was a devout man, verse 2. A devout man, one who feared God with all his house. He gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms have come up as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his fellow servants and a devout soldier. And again, when the Lord says do something, not tomorrow morning, now. But the man was an individual who didn't know Christ. Peter came and didn't even know why he was there. He says, why'd you call for me? He told him about the vision. He says, now you speak to us the words. Witness to me. Tell me what's going on. And then they spoke in tongues. They believed on the Lord with all his house, and they spoke in tongues. God hears everybody. He sees everybody. Cornelius was just a devout Roman soldier, but he didn't know who he was devout to. He didn't know the Lord. He just knew that there was a God. God made sure that he came to know the Lord and receive the Spirit. God saw his heart. That's why, you know, you cry out to him, he'll provide what you need as you cry. He knows what you need. Do you have a commitment to him? Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? If you have, and you've made that commitment and you're endeavoring to do your best, I want to tell you what, God will encourage you. He will constantly show you and help you and stay encouraged to walk and to continue to walk. And he'll provide for you everything that you need. Now, that's what I wanted to share with you.